I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. And we're just so happy that we can come and worship with you today and help you as we all gather around the throne of God. All over the world, we're all drawn together around the throne of God. And we're going to be preaching about the Bible today. And so I know you all have a Bible, and it's a beautiful book, and we take courage and strength as we read it and study it. We're looking at the psalmist who says in the 63rd Psalm, O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. To see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thus will I praise thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. And Heavenly Father, we are gathering today to praise your name, to lift up our voices and to lift up our hands as we worship this wonderful, wonderful God. We thank you that you care for us, that you love us, and that you've given us that wonderful book called the Bible, so we have a sure guide all through life. So bless us in this service and honor your name, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And Melissa has a song today. You're going to love it. Come to Jesus. And God bless you, Melissa.
God bless you.
Weak and wounded sinner, lost and left to die. Oh, raise your head, for love is passing by. Come to Jesus, come to Jesus, come to Jesus and live. Now your burden's lifted and carried far away, and precious blood has washed away the stain. So sing to Jesus, sing to Jesus, sing to Jesus and live. Like a newborn baby, don't be afraid to crawl. Remember when you walk, sometimes you fall. So fall on Jesus, fall on Jesus, fall on Jesus and live. Sometimes the way is lonely and steep and filled with pain. So if your sky is dark and pours the rain, then cry to Jesus, cry to Jesus, cry to Jesus and live. And with your final heartbeat, kiss the world goodbye. Then go in peace and laugh on glory's side. And fly to Jesus, fly to Jesus, fly to Jesus and live. Fly to Jesus and live.
Thank you, Melissa. God bless you. And that's our message, come to Jesus. And we're praying that there'll be many of you who'll come to the dear Lord Jesus during this service, right during the sermon, right during the singing. You can pray and ask Jesus to come into your heart and take away your sins. Then you promise to forsake the sins, because Jesus always taught repentance, and repentance is turning. And so we turn from our sins and we turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. Really, we do it the other way around. We turn to the Lord Jesus Christ and then we turn from our sins. Don't try to clean up your life before you come to Jesus. You'll never get it done. So come just like you are in all your sins, no matter what they might be. Come to Jesus, and he'll help you forsake your sins. Well, that's our prayer. That's what we're always praying for on the Christian Worship Hour. Come to Jesus. And maybe some of you have drifted away from the Lord. Maybe there was a time you walked with Jesus, you enjoyed the fellowship, and then something happened. Maybe something happened in the church or in your life, or you were disappointed, or God knows what. The devil's got so many ways to take us away from the Lord. But he can never take us away from God's love. If you have accepted Jesus, you are his child, but maybe you've drifted away, you come back. Rededicate your life to the Lord. Well, we always thank you for the letters. We get so many nice letters and want to share some of them with you. And I'll give you the address in a little bit, and maybe you'll want to write to us. It encourages us and it encourages others. And by the way, we're going to be reading from 2 Chronicles chapter 34, if you want to locate that. This first letter is from Fargo, North Dakota. A while back, I heard you once say that you asked Jesus to come into your life, you don't have to ask him again. Well, thank you for setting us all straight. Here I've probably done that 1,000 times. You ruined the devil's day when you said that once is enough. God has blessed you. He's keeping you healthy so you can keep preaching to us sinners. But don't worry, God will call you home one of these years, and I hope to thank you and shake your hand either here or there. See you then. Love you all. Christian Worship Hour. And this is from a gentleman. And so this is just beautiful because Jesus, if you ask him into your heart once, that's all. You just have to be born again once. We're not born again and again and again. See, in the fleshly world, we're born once. In the spiritual world, we're born once. And Jesus says, if you ask me into your heart, he says, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in. He wants to come in. You don't have to beg him or anything. You just say, dear Jesus, I'm asking you to please take away my sins and I'll live for you the best I can. And you'll have eternal life. Well, we're glad we got that straightened out. Here's Benson, Iowa. I wanted you to know you are a big part of my continuing faith. Your service helps me to build on it with your services every week and the devotions you make available online. I appreciate you so much. I recently went through some trials. I wouldn't have been able to do it without the faith of God's presence with me at all times. Thank you and your dear friends and staff for being there also. Well, we just praise the Lord because this is what God does. He takes the wonderful Word of God and the Holy Spirit takes it and applies it to hearts and he gives us comfort and strength and help and he's right there with you and we can't see you, we can just pray for you and you can see us, and which I don't know if it's much of an advantage or not, but you can see us, but you can, the Lord will see you and he'll bless you and he'll help you and the hard times will come to all of us, but he's always there. Well, listen to this. This is a really wonderful letter. Bismarck, North Dakota. My daughter and son-in-law are living in Israel at the present, and they can get your program there. God bless you for providing access. And so we're so thrilled. Here's somebody from Israel that we're ministering to. The Holy Spirit is really doing the ministering. But all over the world, it's the same God. And his spirit is like God says, he looks through, he goes to and fro throughout the earth, and he sees every one of his people wherever they are. Nice letter. Here's Three Rivers, Missouri. Oh, here's this. Listen to this poor fellow. He's got a problem. Lord, help me find someone to fix the clutch on my Ford tractor. Well, I was raised on the farm. We had a tractor like that too. And you know what we did? We got a horse, and you get a horse doesn't have a clutch, and you hook him up, and you get the work done. So I hope that'll help you. Now all you have to do is find a horse. Here's Scotts Bluff, Nebraska. I've been listening to your worship service since you started broadcasting. I'm thinking it was in the 70s. My husband's last final months before he passed, we would sit in our recliners side by side and listen to your worship service. Thank you for the beautiful memories. He is now in heaven. God bless you till we all meet in heaven. And you know, somebody said that those who love the Lord never part for the last time, never say goodbye for the last time. And you're going to see your husband again. And I'm going to see my wife, Beulah. And we're going to see each other. And we'll get to meet all you dear, wonderful friends that write to us and pray for us and support us with your gifts. Because we just have to have your help. We have to pay our way just like anybody else. And we want to. It's the gospel. We don't need any favors at all. We'll pay our way right along with the next. But we thank you for your help anyway. Here's Mounds, Oklahoma. Your ministry has greatly blessed me and is helping me through a very difficult time. Well, that's what the Holy Spirit does. He takes the whole world, the holy word of God, and he speaks to hearts and he gives you strength. And we're going to have troubles and trials in this world. But Jesus says, be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Well, let me read one more from, and this is really a nice letter too. They're all nice letters. I don't know which is the best. I don't know what I'd give the blue ribbon to. Every one is a good letter. But this is Grand Island, Nebraska. I'm very, 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 she has three verys. I'm very, very, very grateful that you led me to the Lord, Pastor. I'm learning so much from the Christian Worship Hour. You're having an impact on people all over the world. You showed me God's grace, mercy, and most of all, his love. I would not be a Christian today were it not for your efforts. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Your brother in Christ. Here's a brother. I thought it was a lady. But we get so many wonderful letters, but whether it's a man or a woman, we just praise God when somebody comes to Jesus. And that's what we're praying today, that you'll come to Jesus if you don't know the Lord and put your faith in the Savior. It is such a simple thing, because I was only 10 years old when I accepted Jesus, and I remember it as plain as if it was yesterday. And I didn't understand anything about theology and the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the rapture and all those. I didn't understand a thing about it. I knew a lot about the Bible stories because Mother always read us a Bible story every night. My earliest recollections is my mother reading us a Bible story, putting us in bed, reading us a Bible story, and giving us a kiss and praying for us. So I knew all about it, but there's a lot I didn't know, and there's a lot I still don't know. But I know Jesus. That's all that counts. Well, we just want to thank you all for writing, and thank you for helping us. And we just want to remind you that we need your help to continue in this work. And if you want to help us, you write to us at the Christian Worship Hour. And the box is real easy to remember. It's box 2002-2002. And we're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. If you want to get us on the internet, it's thechristianworshiphour.com. And if you want to send a gift now, you know, we have it set up now so that you can send a gift from any part of the world. And we had a gift from Israel, we had some from Norway and the Philippines and so on. And it's real easy to do. You just get on thechristianworshiphour.com. And then there'll be a place that says donate. That means you're going to make a gift. See, donate. And then you just hit that or you click it or whatever they do. I don't have one, so I wouldn't know. I give a lot of advice and I don't even have one. But it says donate, and you hit that donate thing. And then it'll say PayPal. And that means you pay your pals so we can preach and carry on the gospel, see? It's just that simple. And if you don't have any money, you're still our pals. But pals, you know, we got to pay our way just like anybody else. And so you just pray about that, and we'll get it in American money. We can send it right to the station, and we got an organization that helps us schedule all these things, and they want their money. And if they don't have their money, they'll starve. And they're nice people. We don't want them to starve. So you just need to help us. You send it to Christian Worship Hour, and the box is 2002 Aberdeen, South Dakota. Now, one other thing I want to mention is we have a little publication called The New Song. And it's a Bible study every month. It's a different Bible study. And this study for the month of August is Jesus, Our Example. And so when you want to pattern your life after somebody, don't look at the preacher or somebody else. Look at Jesus. Pattern your life after Jesus. See, that's our model. And so with a nice little Bible study, you might like to have it. You write to us, and we'll send you, just ask for the new song. And as you write and as you give, Always remember, we are a member of the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. And that means that they check our books inside and out. And they check our audits. They check our budget. They see where we're spending our money. They're seeing if we put our money where we say we're putting it. They check us. It just would make an ordinary person nervous. But it doesn't make us nervous because we're on the level. So we say, look all you want. Just look around all you want, Buster. We're all clear and plain. So if you can give, and God will bless you for it, and we'll keep preaching. So if you think this is something God wants, then you need to help us. So we're going to pray, and you pray, first of all, ask the Lord what he wants you to give. And if you say, yes, he wants you to give. And then you say, how much? And then you say, oh, that much? Well, I don't know what you'll say, but he'll tell you what to give, see? And whether it's a dollar or it's a thousand, doesn't matter. It's all for God's glory, and it's all for to carry on this wonderful ministry. So I'm going to pray, then Jan's going to play a beautiful number, and you help us, and God bless you, and glory to God. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for those who have supported this ministry for over 36 years. There's never been a time we couldn't pay our bills, and we believe that you're going to continue to support us. And you're going to support us through your people. That's our only source of income. So we give you thanks and praise for all you're doing through us and all of the other people that are praying and giving. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Jan. God bless you. Thank you for ministering and helping us through the playing of the piano. Well, we're reading from 2 Chronicles chapter 34, And this takes place. Israel has drifted far off from God. They've had some wicked kings and led them astray. And now they have a young king, Josiah, had a tender heart for the Lord. And he wants to clean things up and spiritually and as a nation. And so he has them renovating the temple. And during the renovation of the temple, they find a book. And it turns out to be the Bible, the first five books of the Bible. And that's where the story starts in. And it reads, "And when they brought out the money that was brought into the house of the Lord, Hilkiah the priest found a book of the law of the Lord given by Moses. And Hilkiah answered and said to Shaphan the scribe, 'I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord.' And Hilkiah delivered the book to Shaphan. And Shaphan carried the book to the king and brought the king word back again, saying, 'All that was committed to thy servants, they do it. And they have gathered together the money that was found in the house of the Lord and has delivered it to the hand of the overseers and to the hand of the workmen.' Then Shaphan the scribe told the king, saying, 'Hilkiah the priest has given me a book.' And Shaphan read it before the king. And it came to pass when the king had heard the words of the law, he rent his clothes. And the king commanded Hilkiah and Jehoiakim the son of Shaphan and Abdon the son of Micah and Shaphan the scribe and Asaiah a servant of the king, saying, 'Go, inquire of the Lord for me and for them that are left in Israel and in Judah concerning the words of the book that is found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is poured out upon us because our fathers have not kept the word of the Lord to do all that is written in this book.'" And we're going to look at that book today. And we're going to pray. And in our prayer, we're going to pray for Bangladesh. Every week, we pray for a different country. We pray for the Christians. Some of them are giving their life for the Lord, and all of them are suffering in all of these countries, in Bangladesh. All over the world now, the spotlight is on Bangladesh. So, Heavenly Father, we thank you for this story in Chronicles and the wonderful thing that they found the book and they had a young king, Lord, that had a tender heart and he feared you and he brought back revival to the land of Israel. And we thank you for that book because we still have it, though this is 600 or so years before Jesus was born. Dear Lord, we have that book and we can have that same revival and we can start in our own heart, in our own home, in our own church. And so we just pray that you'll bless us and help us to see how wonderful it is to have that precious book, the Bible. And dear Lord, we want to pray for our brothers and sisters in Bangladesh. And we know that some are giving their life for you, Lord. And for them we rejoice because absent from the body at home with the Lord. And Paul says that to me is to live as Christ and to die is gain. So it's great gain when we get to go into your presence. But we thank you for their willingness to die. And we thank you, Lord, and pray for those left behind, the widows and the children and the orphans and the suffering. And we can't imagine it, Lord. It's so terrible. And so we know that you're with them and we know that you'll encourage them. And we know that someday there's going to be an end to all this suffering and your glorious son is going to return from power and he's going to, from heaven and he's going to straighten this old world out and there'll be none of this injustice and wickedness anymore. And for that day we pray that it might come soon. So now we pray for our service today. We pray that there'll be many who will find the book and in the book find the Savior. And all to the glory of God. That's our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Hank is going to sing for us. He's got a song, My Tribute. And God bless you, Hank.
How can I say thanks for the things you have done for me? Please undeserved, yet you give to prove your love for me. The voices of a million angels could not express my gratitude. All that I am and ever hope to be, I owe it all to thee. To God.
Thank you, Hank, and God bless you. That just fires me up. I think I'll preach like a house of fire now. That's just like recharging my batteries. Lord knows I need them at my age. Well, we're looking at a story today that's a beautiful story. It took place about 650 years before the coming of the Lord. And it has to do with the nation of Israel who has drifted into sin. And it's a story that centers around a young man named Josiah. And just keep that in mind, because Josiah was a godly king. He was a man after God's own heart, just like David. And Josiah began his ruin, and Judah was in Judah when he was 8 years old. So he goes to the throne at the age of eight. And he reigned over the land for 31 years. Huldah the prophetess tells us that Josiah was born with a tender heart. And that's remarkable, because both of his ancestors were wicked, wicked men. He had a grandfather named Manasseh. And the minute you say Manasseh, you see evil and wickedness. And Manasseh had a son, Josiah's dad was Ammon. And he was just as corrupt as Manasseh. And the whole country of Judah had drifted into sin and drifted away from God and into idol worship. And so early in the days of his youth then, Josiah wants to follow the Lord. And he has a tender heart and he grows in the Lord. And how could he do that? With a father like that and a grandfather like that, you know how he could do it? He had a mother, and that mother had a tender heart. And because of that mother, she outweighed that old grandfather and that father a million miles. And Josiah took after his mother, has this tender heart and love for God. And so in Josiah, then he grows along. And when he gets to be 20 years old, he wants to make reformation in the land of Israel. And he wants to have a reformation of religion and bring people back to God and to turn from this awful idol worship and the wickedness in the land. And so his heart is right. And so it was that Josiah began a national reformation and a house cleaning, and he trying to draw the people of God back to God. And during that cleanup day one time, the kings had a private secretary named Shaphan. And he told Shaphan to go to the temple and get some money to pay for the workmen that were cleaning the temple and cleaning around there, and to pay the workmen. And so Shaphan went to do that. And when he got there, he met Hilkiah. And Hilkiah was a priest at that time. And Hilkiah says, I have found the book. And when he talks about, I have found the book, he's talking about the five books of Moses. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, called the Pentateuch. And he has found the word of God. And so Shaphan immediately takes it to the Josiah, to the king. And he says, the priest has found this, and this is the book of God. And the king says, read the book to me. And as he read, he heard the word of the Lord and how wicked the people were in the light of God's word. And we're told that Josiah, after he read, heard it from, had the Shaphan reading that for a while, it hit his heart so terribly that he jumped up and he grabbed his robe and he ripped it in shreds. And it broke his heart to see the people of Israel and going into that their terrible condition, and how they had been so fearless against God and never caring for his word and worshiping the idols. And so he goes to work. And he gets the priest and he says, I want you to take that book, and we're going to follow that book, and we're going to listen to that book, and we're going to have revival in this land. So Hilkiah said then, when he spoke about the book, he's talking, of course, as I say, the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible. And we have our 66 books in the Bible, but it's the same thing. Have you found the book? Have you found that book? Hilkiah found it, and Shaphan read it to him, and Josiah found the book, but have you found the book? You know, it's a marvelous book. It's a wonderful book. There's nothing like it. It had at least 40 different writers to write that book, and it was written in at least three different languages, Hebrew and Aramaic and Greek. And it took a period of about 1,500 years, 1,500 years to compose this book, to put it together. And it is a miracle book, because when you put it all together, there is not a single error or a single contradiction in the whole book. Now, I know there are people that come and say, well, there's a contradiction. Well, there's a contradiction because you're looking for it. It's one or two things. You hate the Bible and you're trying to find fault with it, or you're ignorant of the Bible. Because if you know the Bible and you study the Bible, it's a perfect good book. And God has written it. It had 40 different writers, but they had one author. Now, others were secretaries. And as he quoted to the secretaries, they faithfully wrote that book. And it's a miracle book. And so the writers come from all different walks of life. We have kings and shepherds and fishermen and priests and warriors and statesmen and husbandmen all coming together to write this book. We can read about Amos was a vine dresser. Solomon was an illustrious king. David was a shepherd. And Peter, he was an unlettered fisherman. Paul was an amazing scholar. And Luke was a learned physician. And Matthew was a tax collector. He was a rich man collecting taxes. And so all of these, it's a miracle, because under all of the different ages and different cultures and different customs and different times, all of these 40 put them together, and it's a perfect unit. Now, if you don't think that's a miracle, you can do a little test. Take 40 politicians today and put all their sayings together, and Lord have mercy. It'll be a mess. And here these people, all from all different walks of life, and God says, you write this and you write this. And so when you say, I have found the book, you have found the word of God. You found a miracle. You found something so wonderful. And so that the master architect of the Bible is God Almighty himself. And you need to treat it with respect. I remember my mother, she taught us that Holy Bible. It's a holy book. And she said, don't you ever so much as lay a piece of paper on that Bible. And you know, I was working on this sermon, and I had the Bible there. Good thing I had it. Yeah, I do use the Bible once in a while. But I had the Bible there and a whole bunch of other books. And I laid a piece of paper. I was going to lay it on the Bible. I couldn't do it. Here I am, 94 years old. And mother taught a little boy, 6, 7, 8 years old, don't you lay a piece of paper on that. And I didn't lay a piece of paper. I never will. And so this wonderful book, it's from all of that age. And yet it is so relevant. If I want to read about something, what happened yesterday, I read the newspaper. If I want to read about what's going to happen tomorrow, I take the holy book, the Bible. And that wonderful book speaks today. There is absolutely no book in the Bible, in the world like it. So when Hilkiah spoke and said, I have found the book, he was talking about the Word of God. And there really is no other book. All of these religions have a book. They all have a book. But there's only one book. Because, and it is so easy to prove. I think of all the fulfilled prophecy in the book, where the Bible will prophesy something hundreds of years before it happens, and then it happens precisely exactly the way the Bible said it. If I didn't have anything else but the prophecies, the fulfilled prophecies, that'd be enough for me. So the Bible is a miraculous book. I have found the book. Now, what did he mean when he says he found the book? Does it mean that he just held it in his hand and looked at it? It means a lot more than that. When Shaphan took the book to the king and read, the king rent his clothes, tore his garments, but because he found the book. In other words, it's just not a book that you carry along kind of as a mysterious thing, or kind of like an idol or something, like a good luck charm. No, it means that you have read the book. And you've taken it into your heart, into your soul, and you reacted to that book. That's what we mean when we say found the book. You've all got a Bible in your home. You know, if the pastor happens to come, you sure want a Bible to be in sight. But then the rest of the time, maybe you never open it. I think it was Spurgeon who says, there we got Bibles in the homes now that you could write, you know, that has so much dust on it, you could write damnation on the cover of that book. It's nothing but dust in it. Nothing read, nothing studied, never taken seriously. And so when we talk about found, we're saying, have you really found the book? Do you read the book? Do you apply the book? Now, it's a kind of a strange thing, because when we read it here, we read about Josiah. It just cuts him to the heart. But as far as Shaphan is concerned, he's reading the book, but he is not reacting to it. So you can read the book, and it doesn't mean anything. I had a man in my church years and years ago in the Black Hills, and he said he had read the Bible through 7 times, and he was a scamp if there ever was a scamp. So you doesn't do you any good to read the words. It has to be taken into your heart. And Shaphan is reading it here, but it doesn't mean anything to him. And Ahiakim, the son of Shaphan, was there. Hilkiah the priest was there. Achor was there. Asaiah, the servant of Josiah, was there. Huldah the prophetess was there. But we don't read of any of them doing anything but just listening to the words and listening to history, a story. But Josiah goes to his heart, goes to his soul, and it changes his life. And he acts upon it. And he brings a revival to this whole country. And so when we talk about the book, we say, have you found the book? I mean, not that you have a Bible. I see people carrying their books to their Bible to the church. They take it to services, and that's good. But I hope you're reading that Bible and studying that Bible and then acting on that Bible. James talks about it, and he says, what good does it do? He says, to have that Bible and not obey it. You read the Bible and you don't obey it. What good is it to you? It's like a man looking in the mirror, and he needs a shave, and his hair's all disheveled and all. And he looks at it, and he just goes on, and you see him running around all the time now. I had a pastor friend of mine come by, and I didn't recognize him. I thought he was a homeless man. He's so shabby and messed up and dressed up the way he's dressed up. I thought, get put a tie on. Why, you'd think he's going to hang him, I guess. He didn't have no tie. My old granddad said he'd never have a tie on him because he says, ain't going to put no rope around my neck. And I remember when their 50th anniversary, and they wanted a nice 50th anniversary picture, put a tie on that old guy. Oh, no, he had a big old mustache and all. No, you're not putting a tie on him. They never did put a tie on Grandpa until he died. Then when the casket, they put a tie on, which wasn't very nice, I don't think, but they took advantage of the poor man. But, you know, when we read that Bible, like James says, you look in the mirror, does it change you? Is it talking to you? And that's what we say when we talk about the find the book. Now, when you find the Bible, you'll find God. When you really find the Bible, you'll find God. And I'm going to tell you something. Where everyone wants God. Everybody longs for God, whether they know it or not, whether they like it or not. They long for God, and that's why they worship idols. Because we are made with a compartment to be filled only by God Himself. And so when we fill that compartment, we fill it with idols, and we fill it with money, and we fill it with fame, and we do all the things of the allurements of the world that glitter, and all of those things, those are they becomes the gods of these people. But when we come to the Bible, you're going to find God. You're going to find God through Jesus. Because the way to God is through Jesus, isn't it? Jesus says in John 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And then he got very narrow. And he says, no man comes to the Father but by me. Now that offends a lot of people. Because they have a religion, and they have a theory, and they have a way. And for me to say that only my way is the right way, they're offended. Well, it isn't my way, it's God's way. That's what God said. I didn't say that. And so with this, you want to find God, you find it through the Lord Jesus Christ. And you will never be happy, really happy, until you have God. Until you have Jesus Christ in your life, you'll never find contentment and happiness. And that's why we have people in the movies and on television, and those who are rich, 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 and they take their lives, they commit suicide. I was reading about Hemingway, how a horrible life he lived. And he had fame. And he was a great author, and people practically worshiped his writings all over the world, and he takes his own life. And you're never going to have happiness until you have Jesus Christ. And that's what David talks about in the 23rd Psalm. He says, He maketh me to lie down in the green pastures. Now, we always had sheep. Dad wouldn't have a cow on the place except the milk cows, and that's the one thing I didn't want on there because I hated to milk the cows. If you never milked a cow, you don't have any idea what an ordeal that is. But he always had sheep. And I can tell you something. In the 30s, we didn't have any pasture. And sometimes a sheep would be trying to find a little food in the evening at night, searching for a morsel of food. But when a sheep lies down as content, it means it is satisfied. And that's the way it is with Jesus. You see, if you don't have Jesus, then you're searching and looking. And what is it? What does the prophet say? The wicked are like the sea when it's all riled up and it's all torn up and it casts up mire and dirt. And then he says, there is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. And that doesn't mean some hideously bad man. It means it's a person that doesn't have Jesus Christ. And you'll never have that peace till you have the Savior. Well, when you find the book, you'll find the Savior. You'll find God, and you'll find contentment and happiness. And so then we look and we see how that God sends this book. And it's a book of love to us. But we don't read it. We don't listen to it. I was reading just the other day about Elizabeth Barrett. And she became alienated from her parents when she married a man named Robert Browning. Elizabeth Barrett Browning, you all know that story. But they disapproved of the marriage. And so they cut off all relations with their daughter. And this poor girl, every week, she would write a love letter to her folks and asking if it could make up and reconcile and that she loved them so much. She wrote that and wrote that. And this is a true story. After 10 years, she got a box in the mail. And when she opened it up, it was all of her letters unopened. Now, do you see what they missed? If they would have maybe read one of those letters where the daughter is asking for forgiveness or asking for reconciliation, they could have had her back. But they didn't. They wouldn't read it. So you have that book. You have that Bible. It's all in that book. Do you read it? Do you listen to it? Do you love it? Do you study it? The Bible is a love letter from God. He wants to make reconciliation with us. And so he says, come now. Come right now. Let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they're going to be just like wool. They're going to be clean. And this verse, my favorite verse in the Bible. For years they'd ask me my favorite verse. And I had so many. But I tell you what it is, at my age, it's I've come to love it more than any verse in the Bible. John 5, verse 24. Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me has, present tense, right now, as many as hear me and have called on my name, he says, and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. And he goes on, and shall not come into condemnation, as you won't go to hell, but you're passed from death to life. Isn't that beautiful? And so that's what God has sent. That's his letter. And so when you find the book, you can find God. And when you find the book, you'll find strength for the day. We're going to have added strength to get through the day. Jesus says, in the world you'll have tribulation. But he says, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And tribulation, well, you can thank the devil for that. He's full time on that, and the ornery cuss travels all over the world making trouble. And he's going to do that until one day Jesus is going to say from the great white throne, you are going into the lake of fire, and you're going to be there forever and ever and ever. And the devil knows it, and he trembles at it. And so he just becomes more fierce toward the people of God. So we're going to have troubles. But Jesus says, in the world, you're going to have trials and troubles. But he says, be of good cheer in the midst of the troubles and the trials, because I have overcome the world. That is, I'm going to bring good out of these things. If you just trust me, and maybe some of you, I know, we get letters and you're on sick beds and you're in a wheelchair and you can't get around, and maybe you'll never get out of the wheelchair. I'm with a walker. I don't know if I'll ever walk without a walker. I just love that walker. I'm going to put lights on it and a horn and everything and rejoice. I can go around with a walker because I know that out of all of these hard things, good is going to come. That's what Jesus said. He says, be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. And so this wonderful, wonderful Jesus will just help us along and bless us. And so he says, if you come to me, I'll give you strength and I'll give you help. This wonderful Savior. When you find the book, You'll find that have you have eternal life, and you'll find guidance through life. And brother and sister, we all need help as we go through this life, because there's a lot of decisions to make, and we can't make a decision. For instance, down the road, maybe God would tell me what's going to happen down the road and say that I'm going to have some kind of a sickness there. And so then what am I going to do about it? Well, I'll save my money and go to a doctor. So I'll save my money until I say I'm 5 years from now, I'm going to die. So I'll save my money. And sure enough, I get sick. I'll give it to the doctor. And the doctor takes it and says, sorry, can't help you. You're beyond hope. So what is good? What good does it do to, what if we did know the future, we couldn't do anything about it. We don't need to know the future. We know Jesus Christ, and he knows all of the future. And all we have is today. And I'm going to say, just throw this in quickly because we get letters on it. And that is that people are always worrying about yesterday and something they did yesterday. And they won't forgive themselves. Now, you know why you don't forgive yourself? The devil. He's reminding you all the time. And he's doing that because he knows you can't do a thing about it. It's just to be torment, you see. Now, St. Paul said, forgetting those things which are behind, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. He's saying, I'm turning all those things behind. I'm putting my eyes on Jesus. That's the way to handle if you have trouble worrying about the past and things that happened in the past. And so this dear Lord Jesus, he's telling us, I'm giving you the word. And when we listen to that word, it is unchangeable. Don't deny the word of God. Don't go against the word of God. I read something kind of humorous the other day, and it was about, and it isn't true, but it illustrates the point so well. And it goes like this. It's the transcript of an actual radio conversation between a United States naval ship and Canadian authorities off the coast of Newfoundland in October 1995. The radio conversation was released by the Chief of Naval Operations on October 10th, 1995, and this is the way it goes. The U.S. ship says to the Canadians, please divert your course 0.5 degrees to the south to avoid a collusion. And the Canadians reply, and they say, we recommend you divert your course 15 degrees to the south to avoid a collision. And the U.S. captain of the ship, he's upset now, and he says, this is the captain of the United States Navy ship. I say to you again to divert your course. And the Canadians, they write back, and they call back and say, no, I say again, divert your course. About this time, the United States ship captain, he says, this is the aircraft carrier USS Coral Sea. We are a large warship of the United States Navy. Divert your course now. And the Canadians reply, this is a lighthouse. Your call. Now, this is what happens when you take that Bible and you're going to run into it just like some little old lousy sailboat tooting their horn at the great Bible that stands like a lighthouse to the world. Never go against God's word. You bend, God doesn't bend. The Bible doesn't bend. And I have people, they take that Bible and they'll twist it and they'll turn it and they'll make it every way they possibly can. And so they come out at their own point. So what are we saying? When you find that book, you find the Bible, you find your way home, you find your way to heaven. And there may be troubles along the way. There'll be troubles for all of us, dear friends. And we think, in the Christian worship hour, we have three things in our mind. We want to glorify God. We want to win the lost to Jesus. And we want to comfort the people of God. And so when you have these troubles, you just remember this. Jesus says in John 16, verse 20, he said, your sorrow shall be turned into joy. Now, the devil takes joy and tries to turn it into sorrow. But Jesus takes sorrow and he turns it into joy. And then he illustrates it. And listen, it's a perfect illustration. This is what he says. A woman, when she is in travail, hath sorrow. But as soon as she's delivered of a child, she remembereth no more the anguish for joy that a man is born into the world. See, that's what Jesus does. That's what God does. He takes the sorrows of the world and he brings something beautiful, something good, something great. And that's why we need that book, because that's our guidebook. That's that wonderful book that leads us. And that's the book that'll lead us all the way home, the wonderful promises of God. Kelso Carter puts it like this. He says, standing on the promises that cannot fail when the howling storms of doubt and fear assail, by the living word of God, I shall prevail. Standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises of Christ the Lord. Bound to him eternally by love's strong cord. Overcoming daily with the Spirit's sword. Standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises, I cannot fall. Listening every moment to the Spirit's call. Resting in my Savior is my all in all. Standing on the promises of God. Yes. Put your faith in Jesus Christ. Put your faith in God's word. And God says that I'll help you and I'll be with you and I'll hold you. Listen to what he says in John chapter 7. He says, I give unto them eternal life and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Did you get that? I'm not holding on to Jesus. Jesus is holding on to me. If I'm holding on to Jesus, I might let it slip. and they simply say, hang on to Jesus, hang on to Jesus. No, you don't hang on to Jesus. You rest in his tender care and keeping. And quit your struggling. Just lean on him. Just like as if you're on an island and you have a little boat, a little canoe, and it's just big enough for you, and you don't have a paddle, a sail, a certain thing. And the tide's coming in and it's 9 feet deep and you're 5 feet tall. And as the tide comes in, you just lay on that little boat, that little canoe. The tide comes in and raises it up. You're safe in that little boat. That's Jesus. Just lay your arms on Jesus. You rest on Jesus. And so I'm praying that you'll pray, that ask the Lord to come into your life. Just pray to forgive you for your sins. Promise to live for him and follow him. And then if you do that, you write to us. And we'll send you some scripture to get you started in the Christian life. You write to us at the Christian Worship Hour. And the box is 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And if you have a trouble, if you need a prayers, you want prayers, you write to us. We'll pray for every request we get. And you do that, and you have to write to us and let us know. I'm going to pray for you now. Pray that God will bless you. And dear Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the wonderful Savior. We thank you for the Bible that tells us all about Jesus. And I'm just praying today, we're praying here, the whole team, we're all praying that there'll be many worldwide that'll be opening their heart to Jesus and right now being born again and becoming a child of God. And we're praying for those on sick beds and those that are lonely and those who have lost a loved one. Maybe it's the dearest on earth to them has been taken away, but the Lord Jesus will comfort them. He's the balm of Gilead, and help them, Lord, and comfort them and help them to lean on you. And we'll give you the thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to thank you all for opening your doors and letting us come to be with you. We'll be praying for you this week, and next week, the Lord willing, we'll be back. And in the meantime, the Lord will be with you every minute of every day. And in the darkest night, if you can't sleep, he's right there, because the psalmist says that he never slumbers nor sleeps. He's always there to bless and to comfort. So God bless you. We'll pray for you. You pray for us. And we'll just leave everything in the hands of the Savior. God bless you. In Jesus' name, amen.